University Podcast. I'm Roger Gross, the host of the show, and today we're doing another in our series of podcasts with candidates for the City Council of Boulder City. We're doing this in cooperation with Boulder City Social, and in light of the lack of public forums during the pandemic, we hope these podcasts will help guide Boulder City voters to decide who they want to vote for in the upcoming April 6th election, and of course, maybe a subsequent runoff. So today we welcome Tanya Vici. Tanya is well known in the city and has been a part of Boulder City for many years. And Tanya, it's great to see you. I'm glad you could make it today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
Hopefully you could hear me okay through this mask.
Well, Tanya is in healthcare, so we're taking an abundance of caution here, as they say. So thanks for joining us. So why don't you start with giving us a little bit of your background, and why do you think it qualifies you to serve as a council member on the City Council of Boulder City?
Sure. So I've been in Boulder City since 2012, volunteered for many organizations out here, and I know a lot of different people. And I feel that I'm qualified just because in dealing with the different groups here, there's so many issues that we could all come together with. Mm-hmm. I have a marketing background, so I think that will help with tourism. I've worked in the senior community in healthcare. That is a hot topic here in Boulder City right now with utilities. So I think the diversity of my background, both professionally and on the volunteer side, helps qualify me.
And I think you understand all the issues pretty well also.
I try to be as involved as I can be. I go to all the city council meetings when we could. Now that we are socially distancing, I watch them online. I encourage everybody else to do so and participate. And it's good to be informed in the community.
Great.
So I feel everybody should participate that way.
Okay. So, you know, given the fact that it's not much pay and it's very hard to be a councilman in terms of a lot of study and the research you have to do, why do you want to be a councilman here in Boulder City?
I want to be able to make a difference for the mm-hmm. community. I feel there are some areas that are not focused in on as far as tourism, how we could better budget to help affordability for seniors on the utility side. And then there's items I feel that we as a city should stay out of. Mm-hmm. And so I feel balancing my career and being part of city council is important just to be a steward for the other peers here.
Okay. So I think in the last election, I think probably the biggest issue was this the slow growth ordinance, and the previous administration seemed to not to understand what the attitude of the people was, and now we want to make sure that we keep on that road. So what is your attitude toward the slow growth ordinance and that we have currently in place?
You know, I don't think there is any candidate, and there's a lot of us. There's 13.
Right.
I don't think any one of us, and I could be wrong, wants amazing growth.
Right.
I think we all want to keep Boulder City mm-hmm. small. I think we all want to protect the culture that we have here and
right.
embrace that and sell it, you know, as a place to come on the weekends for tourism. So I am against rapid growth. That doesn't mean, I mean, Cokie was on last week and she had a good point about the limited parcels.
Right.
As things come up, yes, we should listen to the community and consider it. I'm not going to say I'm completely against it, but I don't think that I'm here and I've lived here since 2012 because I want to be in a big city. And I don't
right.
think any of the other candidates want that.
Right. And I think the actual, you know, the way we refer to it as slow growth,
right.
that doesn't mean no growth. You know, so there can be growth as long as it's controlled and it's reasonable.
Right, exactly. And as those things come up, if they come up,
mm-hmm.
they should be addressed, and it should be addressed fairly.
Right. Okay. So another thing which I think confuses a lot of people is the city's fiscal strategy. It doesn't seem to be one direction that we're going in. How should we be cutting costs or raising taxes to provide services for the residents?
So I'm just as confused,
okay.
which is why I'm running. No, I don't think that right now during a pandemic, it's appropriate to raise taxes,
mm-hmm.
especially since our budget is healthy. I would actually want to start looking at ways that we could save the taxpayer money because
mm-hmm.
there are a lot of people unemployed right now.
Right.
There's a lot of seniors that live here, and I know that we have affordable utilities, but I think we could do better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I'm going to prioritize and look into.
Okay, great. So The city's in several different businesses, and I think we started with the golf courses, the original golf course and Muni golf course, and then of course Boulder Creek. And I'm still confused actually myself as if we're losing money and how much money we're losing each year running those courses. So do you think the city should be in those businesses at this point?
That is a fantastic question. I'm still doing more research on it. Mm-hmm. I've listened to the city council meetings. I've met with a couple people. I still want to meet with Andy and get all the perspectives mm-hmm. before I make an official decision as to what side of the fence I'm on. However, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It seems that to me, a lot of people enjoy those golf cart courses. There are people calling in that, I mean, it was a hot topic issue 2 weeks ago. And so I need to learn more mm-hmm. on that before I make my final decision. But I don't feel that the city should be so involved in it that it disrupts the current culture.
Right. Okay. So another area the city has been getting involved in recently has been the airport. Of course, the city owns the airport, so they should be involved with it. But for example, they took over the fuel service down there last year, taking it over from a private contractor.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that now they're taking back leases on some of the hangars when they could have been renewed and the city could have made just as much money by renewing the leases rather than taking them back. And, of course, now when you take them back, you know, you have responsibility to rent them out. So do you think the city should have thought this over a little more with a little more detail and you know, considered more options?
Yes, I think it's absolutely inappropriate for us to be running an airport.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I have a lot of friends that have hangar leases there.
Right.
A lot of people that I've spoken to. And again, if it wasn't broke, don't fix it. I think that we have no business doing the daily operation of it.
Yeah, and you know, they also have an airport advisory committee,
right,
which advised not to take back the leases, to just extend them, and that was pretty much ignored. So why do you have an advisory committee if you're going to ignore their recommendations?
You know? Right, and so like I said with the golf course, I don't personally know a lot, but it's
right.
your due diligence when you represent the city to
right.
go around and talk to all people and
right.
listen to all of their opinions and then go forward. And if you do have an advisory committee, and those are the people that are involved in using the airport hangar, that should weigh heavily on the decision that the council makes,
sure.
not just let's do something because we can.
Right, right, exactly. And then they are the users of the facility, so
right.
it makes sense to kind of listen to them anyway.
Right, because they're in the day-to-day thick of it.
Right, yeah, no question. So, you know, one of the strengths of Boulder City is the small businesses. You know, we have some great businesses in this town, from the Fisher Pen to the, all the restaurants downtown,
right.
and the antique stores and those kind of things. Do you think the city is encouraging the growth of small business enough, or are they being too tough on small business?
Right now, when I've talked to a couple business owners that I've reached out to, it's a mixed bag. I don't own a business here, but I've owned businesses in the past, and I've sat on the marketing board for the chamber, their mm-hmm. Strategic committee. I feel that there's more that we can do if we play up tourism and we have a good working relationship with the chamber so that we could advocate for those businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see that happening right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think it would be good, regardless if a member of the small business community here belongs to the chamber or not, or what their feelings are, it's always good to attract tourism because it's a trickle effect for all the businesses in town.
Sure. Okay. Well, speaking of tourism, you know, a lot of these big citywide events that bring people to town, Art in the Park, the Beer Festival, Spring Jamboree, those kind of things, they bring a lot of business to town, or they have in the past
mm-hmm.
anyway, not this year. But do you think we should encourage more of those citywide events, things that we may not have even thought of, maybe music festivals or something like that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm for music festivals. We want to have people come up and enjoy everything that we have to offer as a town and then contribute to the small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to keep it as a positive part of people that come to Las Vegas and maybe don't gamble. They're there for, once we start opening up conventions, and they want to do maybe some team building
mm-hmm.
or there's a musical festival, something to that effect. But yes, I'm for that. I've volunteered at many of them. And it's a great way to meet your neighbors, too, as
sure.
a community.
Right. And, you know, some of the ones that are really locals-oriented, like the Spring Jamboree and
right.
the what is it, the Wiener Festival?
right, Worst Fest.
Worst Fest, right.
Worst Fest.
I'm thinking Wieners, right. But it really does bring the community together. I mean, those are the ones that those of us in town really enjoy going to.
Right, and isn't that what being part of a small community is all about? You get to go out, catch up with people, right. Have some fun. There's usually a food truck there, some dancing. There's sure. always a local band that's being promoted. Mm-hmm. I'm all for that.
Great. So, you know, the last election, we had a full turnover of city council, new mayor, new council people. Do you agree with the way the city's been run under this new council?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I haven't been shy about vocalizing that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in diversity and inclusion. Not all of us are going to have the same opinion, but it should be respected. And I don't see that happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
The BCCA is entitled to their opinions. But I feel that it's too saturated. We should have an open conversation. And if somebody has a difference of opinion, let's listen to them. That's how we progress as a society. So I am not happy with the way things are right now.
Mm-hmm. So your role on city council then would kind of be a gadfly, I guess, huh?
Well, if I win, you know, I want to figure out a way to work with the mayor
mm-hmm.
and the other people up there that are might stay because of BCCA. We have to respect our differences, but we have to champion everybody in town and have that sense of community. And so I feel that there has to be a positive resolve to every initiative that we take take under our belts.
Well, speaking of the mayor, are you supportive of his policies that he's been operating under during his time as mayor?
No. No, simply put, no. I think there's one initiative that I've agreed with him when he was running, not running, but when he was on city council, and it was something that I had gone up with the rest of the film festival to ask for some RDA money. I feel that there needs to be clarification on the RDA.
Right.
So while he was beating us up while we were proposing and asking for that money, I agreed with him on that. But how... And it might not just be an across-the-board difference on policy because, you know, everything needs to be individualized and looked at. But how he operates is what I have an issue with.
Okay. Well, you mentioned the utility cost. You know, it seems to go up and down. I mean, I just got my electric bill, my utility bill from the city yesterday, and it was like almost $100 more than last month, and nothing changed. You know, I mean, I've been living the same way, haven't used any more electricity. Are you willing to work with the utility company to find out, you know, what the deal is here?
Absolutely. So I'm in the same boat. I'm in a historic two-bedroom home.
Okay.
My bill seemed high over the summer, but that's the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But my bill was $320
right.
last month.
Mm-hmm. It's about what mine was.
Okay. asking for an audit seemed to be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a priority because I work.
Sure.
I make decent money. I'm one of the fortunate people right now that is able to work. But what are our seniors or those who are affected by the pandemic right now doing? Because emergency aid, while we're grateful to have that money that's coming in through emergency aid on the federal side, when that runs out, and I don't see the job market getting better anytime soon, what do we do to take care of these people? Is there a creative solution we could come up with temporarily? These are all things that need to be looked at.
Sure. And we're also being told that the utility infrastructure is crumbling away, that previous councils, you know, at least this council is pointing at previous councils and saying they didn't do their job. Do we need a little more clarity on that issue as well?
Of course we do. Of course we do. And I've read both sides of it. Leslie Woodbury put a good point on one of the 2021 election groups as far as nobody wants to touch it because it's an unpopular issue. There's a lot of things that are going to be unpopular that we're going to have to deal with, or they will catch up to us, and we don't want them to catch up to us at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, with so much uncertainty, we need to address things.
Okay. you just mentioned you live in a historic house, and there's a lot of historic buildings in Boulder City, and we have a historic commission. I'm not sure if they have a lot of teeth in it, though, because of the destruction of the original hospital a couple of years ago. You know, overnight it was torn down, even though
that.
it was designated a historic building.
I remember.
So, do you think that there needs to be more teeth in the historic commission, or the city needs to control what happens to historic buildings a little bit with a little more detail?
Personally, I do, but I don't know if that's what everybody wants.
Right.
Cokie had an interesting point about bringing in a homeowners association. I don't know if we need to go to that extreme.
Right. I'm not a big homeowner.
I'm not either. I used to be on a board of a homeowners association. They're not my It's not my favorite thing. I think it's too controlling. But I feel that there is something that needs to be done better to preserve. So it's something that us as a community should come forward and kick around some ideas and figure out what's the best way to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Where, we have the majority of people happy, and it's not where we're living under the thumb of an HOA or a very strict, you can't go outside your house and put a flag up. We don't want that,
right,
of course.
No, right.
So we have to find the balance on it.
Right. Now, one of the issues facing the city right now is the old pumping station. It's a beautiful building, beautiful brick building. It has a lot of history, but if they fix it up, the city's going to have to maintain it. It's going to cost a lot of money to maintain. And frankly, once you see it, it's great looking, great to see one time. But what do you need to see it a second time? So would you support maybe allowing? I think it would be a perfect place for a brewery because it's got such a, it's already got the place for the tanks and things of that nature. Would you support something that might transform it into a place, a business that would be paying taxes rather than us paying to support it?
Yes, absolutely. I know that the Turners were looking at it at one point. I don't know why we were not more open to that. I know that Tyson was looking at one of the buildings over on that area, and I felt we should have looked more into that. It's going to cost the city a lot of money to do. What are we doing exactly with it?
Right.
And there's no restrooms, to my understanding, right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a park. Well, we have great parks. It should be used, in my opinion, for business, or at least we could consider it and look at all the pros and cons more open and fair, and talk to the neighbors. My understanding is that Grant Turner had a petition going, and I have yet to talk to Grant in person about this, but it seemed like most of the town and the business owners were in favor of that. So why did we just squash it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have yet to hear a good reason.
So you're open to interesting, innovative ideas, for development of some of these historic buildings, I would imagine.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. As long as we preserve their integrity, which, my house backs up to the forge.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a big debate when he turned that into the forge of how do we aesthetically maintain the look of Boulder City and fit the culture? Mm-hmm. And I think they did a wonderful job.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, if they were going to come in and make it look out of sorts and it was really going to be disruptive, then no, but we have to give equal consideration.
Yeah. Okay, great. So how do you think the city has handled the pandemic? I was reading a few items about some rural Nevada towns or counties that were objecting to the way the state, was putting restrictions on them when they felt they could better handle it themselves. Do you think the city should have made a point that this is our town, we can decide what we want to do?
That is such a touchy issue because on one side, I feel like, yes, we take care of our own, but if we are taking federal money or state money to bail us out, then we do have to play by the rules, right? So I don't have an exact stance right now. I work in healthcare. I see people dying every day.
Sure.
So you want to make sure that people are being responsible. You don't want to come in and really saturate and be the police of people and take away rights. But at the same time, if somebody is acting and they need more education, so that they're protecting their employees and their customers, and we have to come in and educate. So it's a touchy subject.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people out here they want us to take care of our own. I don't know. I'm kind of in the middle there because on the healthcare side, I don't think that this pandemic is a hoax.
Right. No.
Yeah.
Definitely not a hoax.
Yeah. So.
But at the same time, you know, you can't let it destroy the town and
right.
the businesses in the town.
Right.
Without you know, understanding the relationship and you know, can you keep a business open safely, you know, with all the mask requirements and things of that nature? I mean, that's
right.
something that I don't think the city has really looked into.
And are they looking at working with
right.
The business owners as far as, okay, well, maybe we increase capacity outside
mm-hmm.
so that you could have more people coming in.
Right.
'Cause the Dillinger has to be affected by
right.
that, right?
Sure, yeah.
But we don't want to have, like, the police in there every 10 seconds either because
right.
it's a waste of a resource.
Right, absolutely. Okay, last question. How do you think you can contribute to a better future for Boulder City and its residents?
I think utilizing some of the forward-thinking marketing skills that I have and then what I've come across just as a volunteer for the different organizations and bringing everybody together and bringing the ideas together. I think it adds value, different perspective. I want us to move forward with tourism and supporting the small businesses. And everybody says that, but you have to be able to work your relationships to get that done.
Right.
And I feel that I have so many respected relationships in town that I would be the best candidate to do that.
Okay, great. So how can people contact if they have more questions or if they want to support your campaign?
So my website is TanyaVici.com. My mm-hmm. last name is hard to spell. So it's V-E-C-E, even though it sounds V-I-C-I.
Okay.
So they could reach me there. My cell phone is always on, 702-412-8968. They could call or text me. I do have a regular job, so if I don't respond right away, give me about 24 hours. But I do call everybody back at the end of the day or early the next day.
Okay, great. Well, Tanya, congratulations on running for council, and good luck in the upcoming election. And I certainly would like to see you at least in the runoff.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Boulder City Podcast and our interviews with the council candidates. We hope it helps voters in Boulder City decide on their vote in April. Early voting will open March 25th and continue until April 2nd. Then voting will be open all day on April 6th. All registered voters will receive a ballot in the mail. You can follow the directions on the ballot to vote via mail, or you can ignore it and show up to vote in person at the polls. If you're not registered to vote, you have until March 9th to do so either in person at City Hall or by mail. For more information, visit the Boulder City Government website at bcnv.org. A special thanks to Gene Widener and Tina Kluver of Boulder City Social for helping us arrange these interviews. So we'll see you next time on the Boulder City Podcast.